Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, there's been a renewed push for the legalisation of gay marriage this week. Greens MP Adam Bandt had a motion passed in federal parliament calling MPs to consult their electorates on the issue. Thousands of people, including politicians and celebrities, marched in the streets of Melbourne yesterday, calling for equal marriage rights for the gay community. And Prime Minister Julia Gillard has given the nod for the subject to be debated at the ALP conference in December next year. The PM is being pushed for a conscience vote on the issue. She's already promised earlier this year that that wouldn't happen in the current term of government. She made that commitment in an interview with Jim Wallace from the Australian Christian Lobby. And Jim's on the line now. G'day, Jim.
G'day, Sharon. How are you going?
Well, mate, always good to talk to you. Just at what exactly did Julia Gillard commit to in that video interview that you did with her just after the momentous leaders debate that the ACL put on, and then only a few days later, the Prime Minister of the day was then, ushered aside for Julia Gillard. It was quite a momentous week. But you then had that conversation with Julia Gillard. Just tell us what she actually committed to.
That's right. Well, look, what I was attempting to get her to commit to was that, knowing that the gay marriage had, or marriage as between a man and a woman, Labor policy had only been held by the intervention of Kevin Rudd at the last Labor conference, I was looking to the same commitment from her. Now, as far as I'm concerned, she gave that commitment. And so I'll be expecting at the National Conference that she will ensure that whatever happens at the National Conference, that the Labor policy under her will be that marriage will be between a man and a woman.
Hmm. Your press release this week congratulated the Prime Minister for not bowing to pressure and sticking to her promise so far. Was it a bit of a reminder also that she actually made that commitment?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think we've got to realise that what we have here, and I also asked specifically that night that that she wouldn't trade these things away as a result of the Greens holding the balance of power. You know, now we were looking at balance of power in the Senate at that stage, and what we have now, of course, is Adam Brandt as a part of the balance of power in the lower house. But and she gave an unequivocal guarantee that she wouldn't, and she mentioned marriage, she wouldn't trade these things off if the Greens hold the balance of power.
Hmm.
So you've got a bloke here, he's one member out of 150 in the House of Representatives, and yet because he's a Green, I'm afraid we have all sorts of mischief. You know, we really have a party here whose policy is about social deconstruction. You know?
What does Adam Bandt's motion actually mean? I was speaking to somebody actually just today, and I was saying, hang on a sec, so basically the MPs go back and consult their constituencies on it. Isn't that what they're supposed to do every day?
That's exactly right, and a lot of MPs have said, well, what an insult, you know. Who are you, young fellow? He's just arrived in the parliament, now he's telling them how to do their job.
So what's the political strategy behind that?
Well, the political strategy for the Greens and also for the homosexual lobby is just to keep this thing up there. You know, it's the same as they do with euthanasia. They just keep these things going up. I mean, if you think that in euthanasia, the South Australian Parliament has already knocked this back once in the last 12 months, and now they've put it up again, you know. So the whole approach to these people is to keep giving it profile, to keep being a nuisance, and to keep wasting parliamentary time until people just give up on it. And, you know, I think it's about time that we had politicians showing leadership and saying, look, enough of this. we're not going to be held to ransom by one person out of 150 in the lower house. And, you know, we really do need to see some leadership out of both sides of parliament.
Well, conservatives in the ALP seem to be, according to the media anyway, seem to be thinking that Julia Gillard is kind of committing electoral suicide by pushing what really is a Greens agenda. I mean, could this actually backfire on them, or is there actually enough support in this within the Labor Party for it still to work for them?
Well, there might be a reasonable amount of support in the Labor Party, you know, for this particular agenda. But the point is, as you mentioned, is whether or not this would be political suicide. Now, if you look at the last election, obviously a very close election, particularly the seats in Queensland, the marginal seats in Queensland and marginal seats in Western Sydney were extremely important. Now, those have both got a very high Christian content. Some of it is Orthodox Christian in Western Sydney as well as evangelical, and in southeast Queensland it's evangelical. Now, it was on the basis of certainly my having come back from Queensland and pointing out that they were not impressing people in southeast Queensland, that I think we got the response on marriage, you know. So I think that those hard heads, political heads within the ALP will realise that if they got another close election, then it could be political suicide.
1300 40 2020 for your thoughts on this, on the whole gay marriage thing. I'd love to know. 1300 40 2020. This is Open House. Jim Wallace from the Australian Christian Lobby is on the line now. Now, Jim, while we're talking about commitments made from prime ministers and things, there was a report this week that Kevin Rudd, while he was in power, had actually made a private deal to allow a conscience vote on this whole issue in his second term and probably even a referendum on this. Now, what did you make of that, given the fact that you'd had kind of similar promises from him as you'd had from, you know, after him, from Julia Gillard?
Well, look, I doubt that very much. I realise that there was a lot of pressure at the last Labor conference. My understanding that the only concession that was made was that they would remove out of Labor policy, that you know, they would not object to something that mimicked marriage. Now, of course, we do object to that because we know the agenda of the gay rights lobby and the activist. But nonetheless, you know, that was probably a necessary or inevitable compromise as a result of the pressure that was on in the party. You know, you've got to remember that in the Labor Party there is a strong left faction, and so obviously it was pushing for this particular agenda on the whole.
And why do you think this issue has come around again now? Is it just because the Greens have actually got such a sweep of power and now have the balance of power and are just taking advantage of that, or why do you think it's come up now?
No, it's absolutely that. I mean, it's the whole reason. If you look at these Greens, these people that a lot of people probably voted for because they thought they were interested in nature, you know, these people have straight away, the first two agendas they put up are euthanasia and gay marriage. You know, I mean, it is an agenda of social deconstruction. I must say, though, that I think that one reason that they got the base that they did, and I'm afraid I've got to say I hope they won't get again, is that I think both of the major parties played small target politics during the election. And so what happened was, in my view, is that people looked at the election and they said, my goodness, the only conviction politicians in this election are the Greens. So without looking at what they were convicted about, I think a lot of people voted for them, who I hope are now very sorry about it.
I think there was certainly that issue of, well, here's the one party that's actually really making a very strong stand for environmental issues and also for refugees. Also, there was a whole heap of other stuff that came along with that. And I think a lot of the people that I spoke to anyway were looking at those two other issues as being the reason why they went Greens.
That's right. But I think people have to realise that, you know, the two major parties, certainly in the last election, weren't all that far apart, far away from the Greens on those issues, except that the Greens have an extreme view of their refugee policy. I mean, they'd have no borders if they, no border control if they could get away with it, you know. So it's an almost everything we see with the Greens that they're extreme. In Victoria at the moment, we've got, you know, a total expenditure over, I think, 3 years that the Greens are proposing of $48 billion. Now, imagine that increase in expenditure for a state. And yet, at the same time, they're cutting taxes, you know. So, you know, I'm afraid that these people charge on as a minor party with no one holding them to account and in both social and economic and environmental policy. And yet, you know, they claim to be a third force. So you can't have it both ways.
All right, Jim, let's look at this from the Christian perspective, as if we haven't been already, but I mean now in a little bit more specific terms. Well-known sociologist, activist, minister Tony Campolo joined us on the show last week, and he was talking about the situation in California, and he was saying that even though he personally isn't for gay marriage, he was concerned at, I guess, maybe... you know, a battle had been won, but the war had been lost to some degree, where Christian lobbyists had kind of won the war on gay marriage, but had made so many enemies in the gay community in the process that was there any real win in terms of the call of the Christian church to love those no matter what? Do you want to comment on that? Because
that's obviously
a bit of a challenge with this whole thing.
Look, it is, and I think that's a good point, you know, and it's unfortunately the reality of Christian activism on almost any issue, you know. The reality is, and certainly the Australian Christian Lobby, we have, and we've taken some hits from Christians who I think he might be referring to, that type of Christian in California, and that is that we have always tried to push for justice for homosexuals, you know, because we believe Christ would want justice for everybody. Mm. And we believe as Christians we should be pursuing that. But there's a difference between, you know, on the one hand, it's right to look for justice for people, but it's not right to end up with policies which are not righteous policies. It's not right to look for to have policies which, because it's all about, and this is what this agenda is all about, it's about normalisation of the homosexual lifestyle, and yet this is a lifestyle of 2% of the population. It's not normative at all, you know. And as a result of it being giving marriage, you present it as normal. You therefore carry with that a whole lot of presumptions about parenting. You carry with it a whole lot of presumptions about how it's presented in our schools, mm-hmm. Which I think is already a problem. And so, you know, it's a big issue, and I think it's a very big issue in terms of how our society reflects Christian values. Our society is not necessarily a Christian society, you know, certainly it's probably not, but nonetheless, Western society does reflect Christian values, and I think we need to retain those, and particularly for marriage, we need to retain marriage as a symbol of commitment, you know, commitment between two people. We know that stability is really important for children. And unfortunately, the homosexual lifestyle does not reflect that. You know, I mean, the homosexual is seeking, and most homosexuals would agree with this. Most homosexuals aren't after marriage. You know, when we've had marriage passed in or available in various locations, we have a very low take-up rate. You know, there were 6.3%, I think it was, in the Netherlands, took it up in the first 5 years after it was legalised there. Now, that's
interesting.
6.3% of 2% of the population.
Right, right.
And as one Canadian observer said, or commentator said, he said, you know, we turned the country apart, turned it upside down, turned our most important institution upside down, and then we had a take-up rate somewhere around that. I don't know what Canada's was, but, you know, that's put 6.3, 10.2% in Massachusetts, for instance, of the homosexual community, 2% of the population, is hardly a reason to turn it upside down the fundamental institution of society and 98% of the population.
Another thing that needs to be taken into this conversation too is that the understanding of, I guess, innate sexuality when it comes to these conversations is actually quite confused sometimes. Sometimes people are saying, no, you're actually, you know, born with this particular orientation. Others are actually saying, no, you can actually change. It's a matter of choice. That doesn't make these kinds of decisions any easier to make. All right, Jim, anything final to add as we wrap up the conversation?
I mean, the reality is there is no gay gene. And so we're all predisposed to a lot of things. So I've actually worked with one young fellow who's has same-sex attraction, you know. It is a real thing. But the reality is that, you know, a lot of people are attracted to smoking. But because it's bad for people's health, it shortens your life by 10 years. Homosexuality for men shortens your life by 20 years, the figures the gays use is 20 years. Now, why would we be encouraging people into the gay lifestyle when that's the case? And with HIV rates that are 25, 26 times the rate for males, for heterosexual males, for homosexual males, you know, obviously it will shorten your lifestyle, shorten your life. So why would we encourage people into it, you know? So I think we've got to resist, as Carol says. We've got to show leadership. We need leadership. And we have to resist normalisation. And obviously that's what these people are about. The activists are about in trying to get homosexual marriage.
All right, acl.org.au for anybody who wants to follow your organisation following this one through. All right, Jim, good on you.
Thanks very much, mate.
Good to talk to you. Jim Wallace from the Australian Christian Lobby.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.